The Lucy Letby case in the UK, I'm sure most of us are familiar with the general details. She's been convicted of murdering 7 babies and of the attempted murder of 7 more at the Countess of Chester Hospital in 2015 and 2016. She's destined to spend the rest of her life in prison. The Thirlwall inquiry was set up to examine events at the hospital without revisiting Lucy Letby's convictions. But many people, including world-leading experts in their fields, have certainly revisited the convictions. And now there's a new documentary film slated for theatre release, and it's also now screened on BBC Four, called Lucy Letby, Murder or Mistake. The evening it screened recently was the channel's biggest streaming night on record. New Zealand filmmaker Charlotte Purdy has been involved in this film as an associate producer with early research and the finding of sources and contributors. Charlotte's been a researcher for the BBC in the past and a producer on TV 360 Minutes, but she's best known for some of the work that's come out of her company Rogue Productions, the big experiment about people changing their skin colour, sold internationally. Operation Overdue, about the Erebus disaster, won multiple awards. And more recently, the film By the Balls looked back at the divisions in New Zealand rugby over playing the game against South Africa. Charlotte is a believer in Lucy Letby's innocence, but this documentary is determinedly even-handed. Charlotte, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
Murder or mistake? That's a question you've been wrestling with for several years, isn't it? You felt like a lone voice once, but obviously not anymore.
Yeah, that's right. 2 years ago, when I started researching the case, I put forward a documentary proposal to many networks in the UK, suggesting that this might be a miscarriage of justice. There was a small group of scientists, doctors and statisticians, you know, who were there questioning the verdict. So I kind of packaged it all up into a proposal for the TV networks. But that was really met with a lot of disbelief, and no one was interested in that proposal back then, until The New Yorker published their article. I then just happened to get the proposal in front of Channel 4 at the right time. But now, you know, there's hundreds of experts and academics and scientists who are openly concerned about this case in the UK.
I remember when that New Yorker article came out and it was attacked quite strenuously. So what work have you done on this new documentary?
You know, it was months of work and a lot of contributors who were willing to talk to the idea that this potentially was a miscarriage of justice. So, you know, at that time, there had been nothing in the papers at all because it was sub judice, and there were not a lot of journalists looking into it at that time. There were a few. But I did have a number of contributors willing to speak to that idea and look at whether the jury had got it wrong. So I guess in many ways I helped with the commission. I didn't go on to be really involved in the making of it because I was really coming from the angle that she could be innocent, but the production team really needed to kind of find their own way, and they chose to approach it with balance, whereas my initial proposal was to really go all in and show why this case is so problematic.
Yeah, the documentary, as you say, it puts both sides of the case against Letby. You know, just going back to your early intuitions, the judge in her case, James Goss, acknowledged that she appeared to have been a very conscientious, hardworking, knowledgeable, confident and professional nurse. But he also said that she had embarked on a calculated and cynical campaign of child murder. And, of course, juries thought the same thing. So why didn't you? Why didn't you back then?
Well, look, a starting point for me is that being convicted doesn't necessarily mean someone's guilty. You know, that doesn't make it a fact, but the UK press very much accepted that and made her out to be a monster. And I guess I looked at it and thought that is looking a bit hysterical. The nature of the case, the vast range of the ways that she was claimed to have murdered the babies, it actually reminded me of the Peter Ellis case and the, you know, the satanic panic days. And I read an interview where her friend was passionately claiming that she was a kind and caring person and could never do this. And so I just thought I'd look a bit deeper into it and found scientists and doctors who had a different perspective.
And they certainly exist. 14 neonatologists reviewed the Lucy Letby data, world-class specialists with thousands of medical and scientific papers published between them. Their conclusion that there were no murders of babies, only the precariousness of prematurity in the babies, coupled with the tragic incompetence of a failing baby unit at the Countess of Chester Hospital. Now, before they got together, there was a woman from Imperial College, a former president of the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health. She said there were very plausible reasons for these babies' deaths. So there were a lot of dissenting voices. And there are still dissent. There is still a lot of dissent. I mean, when those 14 neonatologists were grouped, I think the email to them said, you know, this could be her last hope. So it was claimed that they were going to approach this topic of her guilt or innocence, you know, from that kind of standpoint. So it's still argued about. Is there any one thing that you think is a major reason, apart from all the little bits and pieces about her life and not seeming to be a murderer, is there one thing that you think on your side of things that clinches it in terms of her innocence?
Yes, it's the calibre of the experts that have come forward. You know, this is not doctor against doctor. This is the world leading neonatologists, professors, who have given their own time, months of work to look at the cases and come forward and raise the alarm. These people must be listened to. And then since then, there's dozens and dozens and dozens more in the UK who aren't formally part of her defence, but who are openly advocating across social media and in the media.
I don't want to go through all the evidence because it is so complicated, but she was convicted of attempting to murder two of the babies by poisoning their feeding bags with insulin. The convictions were based on blood test readings that showed high insulin levels, but low C-peptide levels in the blood, which is a clear sign that artificial insulin had been administered. And that was very persuasive in front of the jury. But Professor Jeff Chase, who's a world expert in insulin from the University of Canterbury, said that the prosecution and police were basing their readings on ratios from adults and children. And the ratio that he found was completely normal for a preterm infant. But even the defence accepted that the two babies had been poisoned. It was damning in court. I think Lucy Letby said, well, someone else must have poisoned them. That is actually, it doesn't seem to have been highlighted as a problem with the prosecution case. But in my description of it just now, it would seem to be now.
She did concede on the insulin. I mean, Lucy was the only person on the stand defending her, apart from a plumber who was saying that there was sewage problems almost daily on the ward. So she didn't have an insulin expert or an endocrinologist defending her. She's a nurse, you know, she doesn't know what Professor Chase might know. Why her lawyer didn't bring an endocrinologist to defend this, we don't know, but he didn't, and she conceded on that, and yeah, she was convicted on those cases.
Since she was a teenager, she had wanted to be a nurse. She had had a difficult birth herself. She was very grateful for being alive to the nurses that would have helped save her life. This is the friend you mentioned, Dawn Howe. She was talking to the BBC. And Letby seems to have had and kept a group of close friends, including other nurses. She had fun. She went salsa dancing. She liked a glass of wine. And as you say, she was described as kind and gentle. This odd profile for a serial killer has been kind of used against her, though. Accusations that uninformed people were bewitched by a blue-eyed, pretty blonde nurse. She's hardly that, is she? She's perfectly normal looking, and the hospital used her in their publicity shots. But how would you describe her?
Her friend said that she is the kindest, most caring person you could imagine. And that is actually the reason why I started looking into this case. The manager on the ward, who has come forward publicly and said that she believes that she's innocent, has said that she was one of the most diligent nurses on the ward and that they felt lucky to have her. She did more shifts than most, helping out where she could. She was paying off a mortgage on her first home, a unit that was actually close by.
Yes, and I'm not batting for Lucy Letby. I mean, obviously, we're trying to be impartial as we can in this chat, even though you think she's innocent. The famous, infamous note, and I mean, there are still experts who think she did it, and certainly the main prosecution expert, Dawie Evans, Dr. Dawie Evans, comes across in this documentary as adamant that he still thinks she did it. And there are journalists who think likewise who sat through the trial. So there is still lots of argument. The famous, infamous note the police found in her house. Not good enough. There are no words. I can't breathe. I'll never have children or marry. I'll never know what it's like to have a family. Why me? I haven't done anything wrong. I killed them on purpose because I'm not good enough to care for them. I am evil. I did this. Your analysis of that note, all her scribblings.
Well, the analysis that has been put out there publicly in the UK is that these notes were more a kind of stream of consciousness, or that they were actually done as part of a therapeutic exercise. You know, that these were really notes that were written by a distressed person who was reflecting what people thought of her and her inner thoughts. So if you look at the notes, one of them had the names of the two people that she worked with who supported her, written dozens of times, and kind of peppered in that with the names of her cats. You know, it's like she was trying to soothe herself. So, you know, the people who were defending her would say that those are notes that are really written by a distressed person. And there's a journal at the Guardian have published an article saying that she actually did that as a form of therapy.
Yeah. Dawie Evans, the doctor, who's been much criticised as well as obviously supported by his own colleagues because he wasn't the only expert for the prosecution. He says in the doco that we're talking about that he thinks all his critics can't cope with conclusions reached by people who aren't part of the metropolitan elite, who can't cope with testimony provided by people outside London. In other words, you know, snobbery. Does that make sense to you?
No, not at all. I mean, it's really an international community of doctors and scientists that have come together to put forward a defence for Lucy. So many people in the UK now believe the justice system, the police, and NHS have failed. And, you know, a young woman is in prison as a result of that. And it's my opinion and that of hundreds of other experts from around the world that this case is really built on a house of cards, that they are the theories of a long retired doctor who wanted to please the people who were paying him.
But at the same time, he did have other experts who agreed with him for the prosecution. There was a paucity of them on the defence side, of course, and people wonder about that. But he did have other people agreeing with him. He wasn't the only voice that said she's guilty. And I suppose we think of that. We think of the enormous amount of information put to a jury that deliberated for so long. And we think, well, you know, there are obviously still two sides to the story. I'm sure a lot of people think that.
I mean, yeah, there were a lot of other people who backed, well, actually, there were six other experts who backed his opinion. But, you know, I question how independent those doctors were. My research shows that these doctors were not independently sought by the police. It's more likely that Dawie Evans shoulder tapped these people. One of the doctors was, in fact, friendly with the doctors from Cheshire Hospital who were accusing her. That information has come out in the Thirlwell inquiry, which you know, you can actually download the information from that inquiry, and that has revealed a lot of very interesting things about this case.
Her only hope of getting out of prison, actually, is through fresh evidence being presented to the Criminal Cases Review Commission. You know, she's run out of other appeals. I wonder how likely it is, and they're taking their time, as you can imagine, in deciding whether there's enough fresh evidence. And I wonder what you think of her chances of being heard.
It's complicated because legally you do actually need to bring new evidence. They do have new evidence. So I do definitely believe that the CCRC will push it to the appeal court. I think the public pressure will become, it is already intense there. So I think that she will get another chance of an appeal. Internationally, all eyes are on Great Britain to sort this out, and with some haste. So I think she will definitely get an appeal.
If she were finally to be freed and exonerated, the implications for the UK justice system and for that matter, the health system, of course, are quite profound, aren't they?
Yeah, it will bring the house down because it will show the flaws in the justice system that can lead to an innocent nurse being in prison. There's another four of them in prison as well over there in the UK alone. Obviously, the implications for the NHS, for the police, I think it's going to be huge. I really do.
We wait and see. Well, you'll be pleased that the documentary is the one that was turned down by so many broadcasters has finally seen its light of day. Are we going to see it in New Zealand?
Yes, I believe that we will. I'm not sure when, but I think it will most definitely be here within the next 12 months, shall we say? I don't know. I think we definitely will, Jim, yeah.
Okay. Very good of you to talk with us, Charlotte. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Charlotte Purdy.